Hello and welcome. You are listening to CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University in Kingston, broadcasting since 1922. Coming up, we have the first 2026 Airwave YGK Musicians in Residence special episode right here on CFRC, funded by the City of Kingston and Kingston Arts Council. I'm Vanya Jansen. In today's special edition, you'll enjoy a conversation and a live studio performance with local young emerging artist Kyra Daniel. Kyra is a 16-year-old singer-songwriter born in Ottawa but raised right here in Kingston for most of her life. Kyra is a grade 11 student at Holy Cross Secondary and has been in love with music her entire life. She's also one of the regular anthem singers for the Toronto Raptors, the Toronto Football Club, and was invited to sing for the Rising Stars game at the 2024 NBA All-Star Weekend in Indianapolis. She was even a mini-pop kid from 2020 to 2023 and got to go on two North American tours performing on many different stages across Canada and the U.S. Kyra also was a contestant on Canada's Got Talent and received four yeses from judges while also performing solo on stages such as the TD Music Hall. With CFRC, Kyra's excited to write original music, display her passion for music, and learn more about the artist process. Jumping in now into our fun conversation with Kyra about her work here on CFRC, thank you for joining us. And welcome, Kyra. We're so pleased that you're with us here in our studios for your residency.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
So excited to learn all about the so many amazing things that you've been doing at such a young age, too. It's just extraordinary. So let's dive right in. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your work overall as a musician.
Yeah, so like you said, I'm 16. I basically call Kingston my home. I mean, I've been here since I was, I think, 5 years old. I have been in love with music since I, like, for as long as I can remember, really. I started doing singing lessons once I moved to Kingston, actually. I started doing them at Long & McQuaid, and I started performing at, like, 6 years old. I had my first performance when I was six, and then I joined some local competitions. I did the Kingston Fall Fair when I was, like, eight, I think. And yeah, I've always kind of just loved performing live, and I think that's kind of how I got started at such a young age, like when I was like a kid, just because there were so many local opportunities, which is why I loved the music scene in Kingston. And then from there, like you said, I had the privilege to be a mini pop kid when I got in when I was 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that was kind of the my first step into the professional industry scene, just because we were always in studios. We were doing like dance practices. We were getting ready for touring right after the pandemic ended. So yeah, that was kind of my first look into it. And then I have been going solo ever since. I think I got out of the group when I was about 14. And yeah, this has been pretty fun.
Amazing. And we'll dive a little deeper into some of your past experiences for sure. I'd like to hear a little bit more about getting started at such a young age. You mentioned 6 years old. Yep. Doing singing lessons at Long & McQuaid. How did that come to be? You were six.
Mm-hmm. This is a funny story. I always kind of tell this story whenever I have like this is literally my first experience with music ever. I was obsessed with Disney princesses, and my mom would always be playing music in the house. Like, we would just always be constantly listening to music, because that's just like what my parents do. They're obsessed with you know, I call it old music, but their old playlists, they have so many. And I remember Frozen, like the first Frozen movie came out, and I was obsessed with Elsa. She was like my favorite. And then Let It Go was the song. It was actually the first song I've ever sang. And I remember my parents, we were on a road trip. I think it was like to Tremblant or something for like a family getaway. And Let It Go came on in the car. And I started like belting it, like no knowledge that I was actually singing. Like, I kind of just did it. And my parents turned around from the front seats and they're like, what the heck? Like, that was actually kind of good. And I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. Like, I didn't even realize what I had done. I was kind of just doing it because it felt natural. And that's kind of how my parents knew that it's something that I could have like really taken interest in. And I mean, I tried other things as a kid. I did sports, I did dance, I did a bunch of other things, but nothing ever really compared to how natural and how, I don't know, just warm, like, singing made me feel. It was just such a, like, I keep using the word natural, but it was such a natural thing. Like, I could sing any song without worrying what it was, like, sound like, I guess. And just, it was always such a different feeling from everything else I was trying as a kid. And mm-hmm. I think that that's kind of what made me realize that this is what I want to do, because nothing made me feel like singing did.
And now you also, right here, we're sitting in our studio here at CFRC, and you've got your laptop and you've got a MIDI device. You've also got keyboards too. So you've also not only been doing singing for quite some time, 10 years, but you've also been learning about instrumentation and doing composition as well. And
yeah. So for my 16th, actually, my dad decided to help me build like an at-home studio. So I knew that in order to take my music to the next level, I would have to start writing. I started writing probably when I was 11. Like, I would write in like journals like earlier than that, but I started to like really take it into consideration when I was about 11 years old. I did teach myself the piano. I did lessons for like the shortest amount of time, but then I got really busy with touring, so I could barely do it. So I kind of taught myself the piano. I can play like some chords if I need to accompany myself, but I've been taking guitar lessons at school, and then I've taken a couple lessons outside of school. So yeah, I think learning those instruments and being able to compose my own like pieces as well has really taken me to the next level, just because I'm able to say like, okay, I want to write a song about this, and instead of just having lyrics to it and waiting, I guess, to figure out what I want to sound like, I can literally make it in that moment, which is really cool. And yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm not the greatest piano player, I'm not the best guitar player you'll hear, but having that ability to kind of just mess around with those different instruments and all these little devices I have, it allows me to just really expand my creativity and to, I don't know, it just deepens my love for what I do even more, because it's such an open, like, book. I can do anything with these types of creative outlets.
So with that, you can do anything. Yeah. Tell us about your typical style and technique.
Yeah. For me, I kind of try to aim for like R&B pop style. It depends. Like today, actually, I was working on a ballad in the studio when I first got here. So because I mean, I was just using my little keyboard here, but I tried to challenge myself in the past, and especially now that I have some time in the studio, I want to see how many different things I can like put together. I love literally all music. There isn't a genre that I'm like, ew, turn it off. I kind of listen to all of it. So I think having that exposure to so many different genres and styles of music allows me to kind of hear these sounds and put them into my own music. Like, I can say, oh, okay, I have like this piano track going in the background. How can I make it sound more reggae? Like, how can I make it sound more classical? And I think playing around, especially with these devices that I have and the instruments that I can play, I think that it expands my style a little bit more. But normally it's like more of a pop to R&B, I guess, kind of.
Wonderful. And with that, well, you did talk a lot about loving all of the Disney princesses. Yes. Back in the day, and clearly the people who wrote the lyrics and sang the music, I guess, too. But do you have other influences out there in the music industry, big artists or lesser known artists that have really inspired you along the way?
Yeah, I would definitely say Beyonce, Alicia Keys, Whitney Houston has been, I mean, I've been listening to her my whole life because my parents were the ones that introduced me to her. More recently, I've been listening because she just released an album. Yebba is one of my favorite artists. I'm actually going to see her live in May. I'm so excited. And she was actually one of the first artists that I saw use this like high tech stuff that I was like, what is that? She doesn't just have a guitar out. Like, she was like using a guitar loop to like layer her vocals on stage. So I really look up to her with her live performances. I really, really, really love Lauryn Hill as well. Just like, I mean, again, to me, they're old school, but to all of those like legendary artists, Jasmine Sullivan, there's like a bunch, but Yeah, I think the main sound like that I listen to is definitely more of like a 80s to 90s R&B or hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
That's like my favorite genre to listen to. So yeah, definitely.
So with that, we've been talking about your influences. Who's in your playlist?
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, my playlists are, I have like 18 different playlists for everything and they're all like 24 hours long.
Are there surprises in there that we wouldn't expect?
I definitely think so. I mean, I have a couple country songs. I don't listen to country all the time, but I mean, it's kind of a basic answer, but Fast Car by Tracy Chapman. Like that's just something that I'll always come back to. I have some Leon Bridges in there. Who else do I have that would be like, whoa? I mean, that's the thing. My playlist will go from like Dr. Dre to like Lauryn Hill, and then it'll go to like a Brandy, or and then it'll go to something like Tracy Chapman. I'm like, oh, okay, that's kind of what I got on. And you know, Spotify will just play them randomly. But yeah, I think I really do like older music. I think that the stuff that my parents grew up listening to is, I mean, I grew up listening to it as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that kind of helps. But and like the recent stuff, I definitely love Beyonce always. I listen to like Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that. It really just bounces back and forth depending on like my mood, I guess.
I was just wondering if you had some secret Metallica or something yeah. in there too.
Honestly, I do. I have a probably like a Pink Floyd or two, to be honest with you.
All right. And now you mentioned some of this earlier and I did at the top too. So you have been out and about on the circuit, like performing massive venues for massive things. I'd love to hear from you about, first off, the mini pops. When I was a kid, like I'm much older than you are, but the mini pops, they, you know, tiny little kids singing Cyndi Lauper and Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
What is the mini pops these days and how on earth did you get involved in that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a funny story. My parents, it was my dad specifically, he had the first ever mini pop record and it's in my room now. So it's crazy how long that they've been around. So for me, I always knew that they were a thing. I mean, the kids bop is the American version, right? So you kind of listen to these growing up. I would always see their ads on TV. And I think it was my parents that were like, Kyra, like you keep seeing it on TV and you keep like saying that you want to do stuff like that. Why don't you audition? I was like, what? Like that's a possibility. So I literally, and they're based in Toronto, right? So I didn't even know if it was possible because I'm like, well, we're far away. Like, do I have to live there? So I put in an online audition. I don't remember if it was like late 2019 because I got in March 2020 when everything went crazy. Mm. But yeah, I think the audition process was long. So I went online, I sent in like a singing clip and then they had like rounds. So I sent in the singing one. They were like, okay, we want to hear back from you. So they sent me a song to sing. And then my problem was I had to dance. I was not a good dancer whatsoever. I just never really focused on it. Like I was good at, I did dance when I was really, really young, but I didn't really like it.
But they wanted you to do sort of the Beyonce thing on stage sort of
stuff? Well, that was the whole thing. And I was like so new to that because I was like, yeah, I can sing on a stage and sing whatever I want with a mic stand. But I'm like, I've never done that before.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I have to sing and dance. So I took a lot of training. My aunt is a dance teacher, so I had
Oh my God,
I know. Without her, I don't know what I would have done. So we were on our Zoom calls every night because we couldn't see each other and we were just busting a move. It was hilarious. I will never forget. And I would cry, be like so frustrated with myself. But then like we would dance the same song to the point where I would hate the song after. So it was like a lot of work before I even knew that if I was getting in, but I kind of looked at it as like, you know what, even if I don't make it, even if this doesn't work out, I will still improve because I mean, it's something that I want to do. So it's still probably important to have some dancing skills, I guess. And then once everything kind of simmered down with the pandemic and it was like okay to meet people again, we had a final audition in Toronto in person. And I will never forget it. I was so nervous. I don't think I've ever been as nervous in my life. I was 10 years old and we all met up. There was a bunch of other kids and we had to dance and we had to sing in open air. So it was like, there's no track. You just have to do it. And I was like, oh, okay. And yeah, a couple weeks later, I literally heard from them. They called me. I think they have it recorded somewhere. Like, we had a Zoom call again, and they were like, you're going to be part of the next Mini Pop Kids group. And I was crying. My parents were super excited. I didn't even think that it was a possibility for somebody like me, because I'm like, I'm just a 10-year-old that has a really big dream. I was like, I live in Kingston. Like, we can drive to you guys. Like, I can take the train if you need me to. But it was crazy. And it just really, that was my first experience with, like, something so big that I was like, I really can do this. Like, I can really actually make this happen. And I think that's kind of where, like, I built my confidence. I realized how big of a deal this was for me at that time. Like, yeah, it was such a great experience. And we had a lot of practice before we could actually tour again, before the pandemic was completely over. So we would have dance practices. My parents would drive me up to Toronto 2 or 3 times a week. The amount of hours and gas money, it was crazy, but it was so worth it. I mean, I went from not knowing how to, like, dance and coordinate myself to being actually able to tour live. Like, I was dancing, singing, my momentum was amazing. Like, I was so proud of myself, how I was able to improve over just a couple of months, you know. It was crazy.
One of the things, some of my friends and I have talked about this before, where you're watching acts like, where you see somebody like Lady Gaga or somebody like that, or Beyonce or folks, and they're doing a lot of singing, but also a lot of dancing. One of the things that really intrigues me, and I have always often wondered about this, especially when you know that they are actually singing and it's not lip syncing, I do understand why lip syncing must happen, because you're doing a lot of aerobic activity for a really long time. How did that work out in terms of you being able to sing while also dancing and moving around really fast for a long time?
I think part of it was definitely the training. Like, we were constantly practicing, and it was like, even if we weren't in the dance studio, I would have to practice at home. And I knew, because I had, like, there were some kids that were better singers than dancers, that were better dancers than singers. I just knew that I needed to improve both. Like, I knew, like, if I'm gonna go on these tours, I want to be the best version of myself that I can be. So it was just constant, like, revision at home. I would get home from Toronto and I would have to go over it a million times. And it sounds annoying, and, like, it sounds like, oh, it's like, that's a lot of work. But when you're in the moment, I wasn't really thinking about it. And I think being so young kind of helped, because I wasn't like, okay, well, what now? Like, I wasn't overthinking it, because I didn't really have time to, you know what I meant? So it was kind of just one of those things that I just did what I had to do. Like, I knew I had to practice in order to become better. I knew I had to be constantly looking at old videos and say, okay, I was off there, but this is how I'm supposed to do it. And, like, asking questions to my teachers and being like, what can I do to improve? So once we were actually touring and, like, doing these live shows, we did hundreds of shows. And it was like the same show. We would change a couple songs here and there. We would change some choreo just to spice things up. But it was always like a matter of, you need to be putting the work in. And I mean, it's easier said than done, just because, I mean, I've already done it. Like, I've lived through that experience. But it's the same with everything, you know. Like, I can apply that mentality now that I built when I was young to anything I do, because I know that it requires that much work. But yeah, it was so rewarding, because you have hundreds, even thousands of people in the audience, and they're enjoying you, and all of this work that you've put into it is paying off, because people have, one, paid to see you, but they're actually enjoying this time. They're dancing with you, they're singing the songs with you. The adrenaline rush that you get from it every time is so, like, it's irreplaceable. So yeah, it was just a lot of me having to kind of mature at that age and just be like, this, if I want to achieve this goal, I need to realize how much it's going to actually take. And it was a sacrifice. It was definitely a sacrifice. I'd miss a lot of school, so I'd have to manage my time properly. I would have to kind of sacrifice, like, social time or freedom, I guess, quote unquote, to practice my craft and just really make sure that I was on top of it. But yeah, building that momentum came from a lot of repetition. And because, like, you can't, I don't think I could stand up right now and do that entire show without, like, warming up, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Right on, right on. Well, these are tremendous insights, though, too, because often when I'm talking to musicians, they spend a lot of time in studio rehearsing just the music. What you're talking about is clearly an art form as well, where you are singing and performing while also mixing it up with dance. There's a whole other dimension there. I wonder what your peers have to say.
Yeah.
you are currently a young high school lady, mm-hmm. and you are probably surrounded by lots of other high school folks who look at me on the tickety talk and look at me on Instagram, mm-hmm. and how do I become really awesome and famous too?
Yeah.
Do you get a lot of questions or offer feedback to your peers?
Yeah, I definitely think that it was easier in elementary school, you know what I mean? Because it was like, all right, I'm going to go for 2 weeks and I'll be back soon. Like, they didn't really understand what I was doing, so it was like kind of fine. High school, I wasn't in the group anymore. I was into mini pops. It was my solo stuff that I really started to focus on. So I think that's when more like curiosity arose, just because it was like, so what are you going to do now? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, good question. So I think, especially in like, because I don't play any sports. I mean, I used to play basketball because my dad is obsessed with it, but I never did sports, especially in high school. So my only focus really in school, like extracurricular wise, is like the school plays, the vocal performances, like if the band has a showcase, stuff like that. So I'm extremely like heavy, like arts focused, I guess, at school especially. So my peers in that will be like, so like what's next? Or what does the studio process look like? And it like, I'm always absolutely open to share it and just like to talk about it. And I just make sure to come to approach those conversations with like a lot of gratitude and humbleness, just because I know that seriously, like 6 years ago, I was like stunned that I could even do this professionally. Mm-hmm. Like it was not a long time ago. Mm-hmm. So I think that to share like my own experiences and stories has to come with a lot of gratitude, and just like anybody, I just want to let other people know and understand like this can happen to anybody, and like I'm gonna continue to do what I'm doing. I will do anything for my music, and yeah, it's just really possible. So I think that it's been a lot of support in this community, especially. That's why I love Kingston, because it's a smaller town, but I mean, the support and the community is just such a strong one that I feel like really supported and backed up.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. Really tremendous insights about what it's like to be a young artist on a tour as well. And you were all over the U.S. and Canada. And how did that go? So you're away from your parents, I guess, for a while?
Yeah, the best part about mini pops is that one parent could come. Sometimes they didn't, but my mom was the main person that would always come with me. She is a teacher at St. Lawrence College, so she, during the pandemic, she would just teach online, mm-hmm. and it was hilarious. I would have like a practice in Toronto, and she'd be like in her car teaching a Zoom on Zoom, and I was like, hi, I'm done practicing. She's like, give me 5 minutes, like wait outside the car, like I'll be done in a sec. I was like, okay. And like while we were on tour, like we would all be out to dinner after a show, and she'd have to like go take calls. I can't believe that she, like, I can't believe I did it, but I can't believe my parents did it. Like, wow. The driving, the travel, we would be at the airport every like week. It was insane. So I mean, I wouldn't be here without my parents' support. They've never doubted me with this. They've never said, okay, we're not going to do that for you. They've always backed me up. So yeah, the touring was hard. It took a lot. It took a lot of energy, a lot of time. But it was honestly one of the coolest experiences I've had so far in my life.
Was there a moment anywhere where you were just like, oh, I'd rather just like spend the weekend hanging out with my friends or doing whatever the youth kids like to do these days that's not work?
Literally, no. That's the thing. I was like wondering, because I would hear like other people talk about it. Oh, like I just need to relax. Oh, like I'm going on vacation soon. I'm so excited to just do nothing. I'm like, dude, I kind of love this right now. Like I kind of love being busy. That's my thing. I can't sit still. So the touring was so great for me, just because, one, I learned how to manage my time. I was like, I was in grade seven. I think it was my grade 7 and 8 years that I was. Yeah, 7 and 8. So I would tell my teacher, I'd be like, I'm going for a week. I'm going to California. Can you give me the homework? I'll do it beforehand. I'll email it to you. Like, hopefully that's okay. And it started off hard. It definitely, I had to get used to it, but it just had to be done. You know what I mean? And my parents have always said, like, school comes first. Get through school. You'll be able to, like, music is always going to be there for you. But yeah, it was cool. And I mean, we performed on hundreds of different stages. I think my favorite part of the tour was when we went up north in Canada. And then when we went, like, we did LA in the States. We did, like, I don't even know. I'm so bad at geography, but like that side of the country.
West
Coast. That was a really cool leg of the tour for me, just because it was like a completely different. I'd never been to LA. We got to go to Disney. So like we had downtime, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But I mean, the kids too, we became best friends. Yes. Like nice. We spent every moment together. So we kind of had to, but yeah, we built so many good bonds. All the parents were like best friends. We still talk to each other. It was great.
You'll get together when you're super old and become the maxi pops.
Literally, we'll be the old pops. Like it was such a fun time, and I think that it's taught that like going from 10 to 14 in that group taught me so many life lessons, and it helped me mature. I think a little bit faster too, because I had to grow up. Like I had to. I had to meet my expectations. I had to work. I had to figure out how to balance everything at such a young age. And that's why I'm super grateful for stuff like that, just because it taught me so much. But I was also having so much fun.
Okay. Thank you. And now, since then, you have also been quite busy, particularly in the Toronto area. You've been the anthem singer for the Toronto Raptors, as well as the Toronto Football Club. And I also understand you participated in the 2024 NBA All-Star Weekend in Indianapolis. So was there an audition process there too? Did your work with Mini Pops help in this regard to get you this regular gig or regular gigs for these massive sporting groups?
Yeah, there was an audition for the Raptors. I was still in Mini Pops when I auditioned. My dad knew somebody that would like... that he could contact, because we didn't really know how to like actually get be a part of the audition process, and I was also so busy that we were like, I don't even know if I could do it. So my dad reached out to somebody that is part of that I guess process at the Raptors, and they gave us the information, which was great. So it was actually before a game. My brothers are both basketball players, they're obsessed with the sport, so for my brother's birthday, he got tickets to a Lakers game. It was like Lakers versus Raptors. And before that game started, I auditioned on the court. So that was cool, because I was like, I think I was 12, actually. Oh my God, I was literally 12 years old. Yeah. So I was 12, I auditioned. And it was weird, because they normally don't have anybody under 18. Like, that's the minimum requirement. So they were like, you are the youngest that we, like, would potentially have. So like we're a little like, they were skeptical, I guess, in like some ways, but I guess like my qualifications had helped in a sense, because it was like, yeah, well, I'm kind of doing this like as a job right now, so that kind of helps. But yeah, I auditioned, they said that it was great, and then they had like, they kept in touch with us, and then my first year was when I was 12 years old. So I had like a couple that year. It was kind of towards the end. So I was towards the end of the season there. 13, 14, 15, and now 16. I've been with them for 4 years. It's been awesome. Like, it is one of my favorite consistent things that I do. It's like 20,000 plus people every time. I sing both anthems, which is cool too. And like the players, I know the players, I know all the staff. It's such a cool environment. Everybody's so kind. Everybody's so excited. It's a really fun job. Like, it's nice. So cool. And like every time my dad and I are like, because my dad takes me to those games, and we're sitting in our seats and we're like, this is just like a regular Tuesday for us. Like, this is insane. Like, and like I'll post on my Instagram that I'm there, and then people will be like, that is so cool. I'm like, it really is.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
And because I've had so many of those games, like sometimes I could just be like, well, yeah, I'm going to go to sing for the Raptors, then I'm going to go home, and then I'm going to go to school the next day. It's like, wait, hold on. I'm actually doing that. It's like, I take it in sometimes, but I'm just like, wow. So yeah, that one was cool. And then I got recommended to TFC by the Raptors. Mm-hmm. And then the Raptors also recommended me for All-Star Weekend. So I actually didn't even have to audition for that. I think the NBA was looking for a Canadian singer for the Rising Stars game in 2024. And they're like, do you have anybody that would be good? And they literally just put my name in. And then I was just selected. It was crazy.
There you go to Indianapolis.
And we literally, they flew my entire family out.
Wow.
It was supposed to be me and my dad. And then he was like, he asked, obviously, because my brothers were such big fans. And it was, I will never forget that week. It was one of the best weeks of my life. I don't think anything will, like, it was so, my brothers, like, were, you should have seen the video. My brothers were bawling when he told them that we were going. Aww. And it was all for literally the game that I sang at. We saw the All-Star game. My dad and I sat on the court. We sat courtside. My brothers were there. My mom was there. We got to go and see the city. Like, it was such a cool experience. And it all started from literally the Raptors.
Wow. Dude, dreams are coming true for everybody in your family, like all the time.
Yeah. And it was one of my dad's biggest things, actually. He has like a list of things that he wants to do. One of them was to sit courtside at a All-Star game. And he was like, I don't care when it is. I just want to do it. And it's crazy that the first time he ever did that and he could cross it off his list was because of me.
Aww.
Like, it was because I was singing at it. And it was like, I still think about that week to this day. Like, it was one of the most amazing experiences.
Amazing indeed. All right. So we need to move on because we have to also have some time today or in this broadcast where we can also listen to some of your wonderful music. But I do want to hear about your contestant time with Canada's Got Talent.
Hmm.
Tell us about that experience. I'm sure there are a lot of folks out there who'd be like, I could totally do that too. How can they get involved?
Yeah, so that one was honestly just, it wasn't even like something that I had in my mind that I would ever participate in. I never imagined myself auditioning for something like that. But it was actually one of my managers that was like, you should go for it. You know, like, you never know what happens. And Shania Twain was on that season.
Mm.
So it was like a really big deal because she came back to the show. And I was like, you know what? Yeah. Like, what is there to lose when you audition for something like that? It's a great experience. So I put an audition online. And it was kind of like Mini Pops, honestly. Like, there were a bunch of different rounds that you had to go through. The only difference was to sing a cover song, you had to, like, get the rights for it and stuff. So I actually chose my song. I did Black Like Me by Mickey Guyton. And the reason that it got approved, I told Mickey that I was doing it because actually we have a connection online. We've talked actually for like a really long time now. So she's a good friend. And I was like, can I do your song? And she was like, yeah, of course. And like, she was super supportive of it. And we got the rights for it. My entire family went up to Niagara Falls to film the episode. And I'll never forget, it was like, we started the day at like 5 o'clock in the morning. We ended the day at like 11 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
It was a full day of filming. And it was literally like what the show looks like. Like, I didn't have any prior knowledge of what the judges were going to say. I didn't know like how it was all like in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I just stepped onto the stage. I just introduced myself. I started singing and then it went great. And like, I didn't know any of these things. Like, I didn't know if I was going to actually go through. I didn't know if it was like a you stop and you start in the middle of a song. I kind of just went for it. And it was a really, really, really cool experience. There was a really big audience. Obviously, that show reaches out nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a good exposure for sure. And the message that I sang about was just how, like, I had faced some adversity and I wanted to share my message and just be proud of where I come from and who I am. So, yeah, it was a really great message, a really great experience. And, yeah, my dad and I still joke about it to this day. I had a really bad sound check that morning too. It was like the worst. I kid you not, it was like the worst I've ever sang. And it was out so early in the morning. I didn't warm up properly. And I was like, I was nervous because of how bad the sound check was. And then I performed it. It was great.
Okay.
But, yeah. But really, really cool experience overall.
So where do you see yourself going from here? You were 16 years old. You were still in high school. Are you thinking about uni and what happens after that career-wise? Where are you going?
Yeah, I set a goal for myself when I was really young, actually, that I just wanted to get a degree and I wanted to go to university. That's always been something that I've set for myself. So I probably will, I mean, I'm in grade 11, so I have one more year, but I'll definitely probably try to stay close for my first couple years. I mean, Toronto is my ideal just because of the place. Like, it's the biggest city. And
you got work there.
Yeah, I have work. I have great connections. I have family. So I think that would be my ideal place to start out. And then I'd probably branch out from there, depending how I feel and like where my career is at that moment. But I definitely want to go through school. I've always just had this goal to just be a singer and a songwriter and just perform. Like, and I mean, I have it written from when I was like, I think 7 years old. It's like I have it in my bedroom. I will win a Grammy one day. And I've had that since I was like really, really young. So yeah, I think I'm just going to continue what I'm doing with music. It's nothing else I've tried in my life has brought me as much love and joy as music has. It's what I do. It's what I associate. Like, it's literally me. It's part of me. So yeah, I think that I'm just going to continue what I'm doing. I'm going to continue writing. I'm going to continue working with different people, performing as much as I can. And yeah, we're going to see where it goes.
Amazing. And now, speaking of performance and the work that you do to put into your performances, you're here at CFRC undertaking a creative residency. So tell us a little bit about some of the music that you're putting together and that we will listen to shortly.
Yeah. I actually started writing a song this morning here in the studio, using like my studio equipment that I have from home. I came up with like a little bit of a piano track. I'm going to add some strings to it. It depends though, just like how I feel in the moment. So today was like more of like a mellow, like a soft vibe. So that might be one that you guys hear. And then I'm just going to try. And like I said earlier, I love to expand on genres and writing styles. So I'll definitely, create a couple, so I'll have enough time to create a couple different things here in the studio. So it's a really cool opportunity because I just get to have the freedom to create in such a cool space. So yeah.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, folks. We have been chatting with Kyra Daniel. Thank you so much for joining us here in the studio. It's been so wonderful having you. Folks, don't forget to follow Kyra on Instagram at Kyra Daniel Official to stay up to date with news and new music. And now we're going to turn it over to Kyra and CFRC's Airwave YGK tech team for today's live in-studio performance, brought to you through the generous support of the City of Kingston and Kingston Arts Council. We hope you enjoy the program. Thanks, Kyra.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario, situated on the traditional territories of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of Smith Engineering.